You're listening to Sarah Talk. It's political.
You could run a fucking pet rock against Donald Trump, and I would vote for the pet rock.
Yeah.
That's where we're at right
now.
Critical.
Hang on, let me change some words here. All right, ready?
Adults with religious confusion who truly believe in a higher power that created us and actually cares what we do with our penises and vaginas should be treated with care, compassion, and kindness, but must not be officially affirmed in their confusion, no matter how sincerely held. Fuck you.
And positively LGBT positive.
In many states, you can still be evicted from housing simply for being gay or transgender. Stand and fight with us.
Oh, and occasionally, completely absurd.
I don't know if you've ever seen the lightning bug, but he flies around with a flame, a light coming out of his behind. The lightning bug got a flame coming out of his butt.
It's a beautiful night tonight. All the sodomites are out.
And now, from Orlando, Florida, your host, Sarah Austin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Sarah Talk.
Hello.
This is episode 102 of Sarah Talk. And I can't hear myself.
You can't?
No, it's we stopped doing mic checks ahead
of
time.
Yeah, we're like, fuck it.
I have started drinking without you again tonight because we had a house full of children today. what, 7, 8-year-olds?
Yes.
Ish in that range.
Yeah.
Loud.
5, 7.
Screaming.
/8-year-olds. 1 2-year-old.
Right.
In a bounce house.
Right.
And sugar.
And it was loud.
Holy shit. Yeah, I have a headache.
So, yeah, oh my
a
God.
Really bad headache. I took like 45 tablets of Excedrin today.
Right. If any of our friends listen into the show, we love you to death, but you left at the right time because honestly, had it gone a whole lot longer, I would have been like, I'm going to go into the other room and shut the door.
Yeah. It was fun. They had fun.
It was great. The blast.
But like 3 hours is max.
Yeah, definitely.
And then the little one, our son. They came and took the bounce house about 20 minutes ago, and he just sat at the door, hysterical, crying. And I'm like, buddy, it's okay. I don't want them to take it, though.
Right?
I'm like, I understand, but I didn't pay for it.
They took it. Yeah.
I rented it. There's a difference.
Yeah, we didn't buy a bounce house.
Mm.
So here's the plan for tonight. Tonight, we're going to talk about some child marriage issues in the United States. And then we'll talk about some Florida stuff later on in the show. I am excited to share that coming soon, I'm working on booking a show to talk about 12-step programs. And so, you know, I've often made comments about the higher power component of specifically Alcoholics Anonymous. And so I wanted to dig into that more. And I had reached out to some different organizations that operate a secular version of that,
mm-hmm.
right? That does not include the higher power requirement. And so I'm working now on locking in the times when we're going to talk to them. There's also another podcaster that I've connected with who does a podcast about addiction.
Ooh.
As an addict herself, and she has on other people who have gone through the recovery process from eating disorders to drinking to drugs. Anything you can imagine that you could get addicted to, she's talking to these people and when I listened to her podcast, in every conversation, the religious component comes up. So I think it's going to be really interesting to kind of dig into that a little deeper.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Yeah. So that's coming up soon on the show. I will let you know when that will be once we have it all lined up. Okay. So picture this. The sprawling city of Hilldale, Utah. population 2,700-ish, rests at the foothills on the border of Utah and Arizona near the striking red cliffs near Zion National Park. And is actually sort of like a border straddling extension of Colorado City, Arizona.
Okay.
Because new words were hard to come up with in the early 1900s, I guess. Colorado City, Arizona.
Yeah.
These towns have quite the rich Mormon history, too. Hilldale is the headquarters of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or FLDS, established as sort of a branch of the LDS Church. The Fundies differentiated by, among other things, polygamy. See, in the early 1900s, Joseph F. Smith, nephew of the Joseph Smith, now leading the church at that point, disavowed polygamy before Congress. But the Fundies didn't fall in line, and so they're still practicing polygamy today, which, whatever, right? You do you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Hilldale recently elected a new mayor, which caused many, and remember, this is a town of 2,700, so many is like six, caused many of the municipal staff to resign.
Oh, my.
Including six of the seven town workers and nine members of various boards, including utility board chairman Jacob Jessup. Write your own jokes. Now, all of these people are members of this super fundy LDS sect, okay?
Okay.
All right. So, what's got their magic underwear in a bunch? Well, the newly elected mayor is not part of their fundy sect.
No.
And worse, she's a woman.
The humanity.
Mayor Donia Jessup, in is in polygamy land of 2,700, last names tend to be pretty common. Donia Jessup used to be a member of the cult, but left 4 years ago and then returned to start a business. She's in a plural marriage, but no longer follows the FLDS. Staying with me?
No. Okay. Okay. Plural marriage. Got it. Okay.
Jacob Jessup, former utility board chair.
I'm so confused.
Wrote a letter of resignation, which said, in part, quote, "It has come to a point where I have to choose between my religion and participation in city government, and I choose my religion. My religion teaches me that I should not follow a woman for a leader in a public or family capacity," end quote.
Mm-mm.
He also says that his religion teaches, quote, "to leave apostates alone severely and not have anything to do with them." Doesn't that sound familiar?
Yes, it does.
Okay. The,
is that...
Oh, God.
Is that what Jamie just posted? Because yes. I can't see it on the phone, but yes. Okay.
Oh, the humanity.
Love it.
I love it. That's great.
Sorry.
I'm getting... Patrons, go to patreon.com/Sarah Talk.
I need a cough button.
We're going to buy a cough button, please.
It's allergy season, peeps.
Okay. The Associated Press provides a little backstory in their article. Have you heard of Warren Jeffs? Does that name sound familiar?
Yes, it does.
So Warren Jeffs is like a legit prophet to these people.
Okay.
And he's currently serving life in prison in Texas.
Wow.
For sexually assaulting underage girls that he considered brides.
That does not surprise me.
The sect members of the town believe he was wrongly convicted because, of course, religion.
That doesn't surprise me either. The only thing that surprises me is that they actually caught him.
Right. So, one small step for a woman. But let's segue out of that into this idea of child brides, okay? And you'd think that's, like, super uncommon, relegated only to the religious cults and the like, you know, like the South, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't be too far off. First, Missouri. Heather Strawn was 14 years old when she became pregnant by her then 24-year-old boyfriend, Reed pedo-rapist, Aaron Seaton, who had plied her with alcohol before having sex with her inside his camper parked next to a fishing shop in Ashton, Idaho.
Oh, my God.
What a catch, right?
Ba-dum-bum.
Heather convinced her father, Keith, that they were in love, and so, rather than turn the guy in for statutory rape, he waited until August 2015, on Heather's 15th birthday, packed up the family in the station wagon, drove 17 hours to Kansas City, Missouri, to marry off his now 9-week pregnant 15-year-old daughter.
Mm-mm.
In Idaho, they would have had to go before a judge to be married, which would have put them at risk of arrest. But in Missouri, a minor only needs the signature of one parent. No judge necessary.
Oh my gosh.
And it would have all worked out if it wasn't for you meddling kids. Heather's mom, who lives in Utah, found out about the marriage and lost her mind. But according to Missouri law, her concern didn't matter. She's the one that called Idaho police. Heather's father and her new husband were arrested, and by the time their trial started, the marriage had already been annulled, and Heather had had a miscarriage.
Oh, my gosh.
Seton received 15 years in prison and was required to register as a sex offender.
Wow.
Keith, the father, was sentenced to 4 years for felony injury of a child. But because Heather was somewhat willing and Keith didn't actually force her into the marriage, the sentence was suspended, and instead he was put in 120 days in jail.
Mm. Wow.
This is going to be a short show tonight, by the way. I tried to make this, like...
Well,
I knew it was going to be a long day, and I was going to have it in me.
Yeah,
that's
fine. That's good. I'm still trying to, like, wrap my head around that, though. Like, just... I think about, like, things I was interested in when I was 14.
Right.
And even though I was, like, somewhat overprotected and in a bubble, 14...
Right?
Like, I was watching TRL, and I was obsessed with NSYNC.
You weren't dating a 24-year-old.
But I was, yeah, like, no.
And here's the thing, as... I mean, I guess, did the father know about the relationship beforehand? I don't know the details of that.
Right,
but like where, and the judge, I was going to pull the audio, but it was, that was a lot of work. The judge in the sentencing of this thing told the father, like, look, you needed to be the adult in this, in
right.
this situation.
Yeah.
And instead you were an enabler. Like how
so,
dare you?
And so she got pregnant, and then she, at the beginning, did it, it said, do I remember this correctly, that she convinced the
father
that they were in love.
Right. That she cared for him a lot. That
they like,
were,
you're
yeah.
14. You don't even know what that means.
Right?
Like,
right? What do you know at,
right?
at 14? Are like, you kidding me?
And you know what? I don't care. As your dad, as the adult, you're going to probably hate me. But
right.
no, this isn't happening. And you, dirty little whatever... calling the police right now, like, seriously, as yep. a parent, it is, it's your job to be the adult,
right?
So okay. whether you knew about it or not, once you found out about it,
right. Ugh. Right. Well, he thought he was doing the right thing, and we're going to come to, so one of the other things they asked in the trial was, you know, they were asking the father's lawyer, was this religiously motivated?
Right.
Like, what? Why did he think that this would be a good idea?
Right.
And the lawyer was basically like, I can't speak for him. We haven't had that conversation. I don't really know. But we're going to come to that component of it in a minute.
Okay.
Okay. Because, of course, we are. in Tennessee, Representative Darren Jernigan sponsored a bill that would outlaw marriage where one of the parties is under 18 years of age. Under their current law, there exists a loophole that gives a judge the discretion to grant marriage certificates to underage individuals with no minimum age limit. House Majority Leader Glenn Quesada, Republican, made a motion to send the proposal to summer study in the House Civil Justice Subcommittee. The summer study is basically like where bills go to die. Because
okay.
they go,
right.
yeah, we'll look at it over the summer, and then it never happens.
Right. right. I have a table that is yeah,
yeah,
mail,
right.
mail that I'll eventually
yeah.
look at.
Yeah. Right, the craft projects right. that I was going to get done. And
That
sure.
tract from the Jehovah's Witnesses I found in the door.
He cited an email he received from David Fowler, attorney former state senator, and currently the president of the Family Action Council of Tennessee.
Is that anything like the
Family Research
Council? Family Research Council?
Same sort of ilk.
Okay.
Fowler, in this email, argued that passing the bill would interfere with a lawsuit he's bringing to counter the 2015 Obergefell decision on marriage equality. Okay.
Oh, God.
I don't know how this adds up, but I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
Fowler suggested that the Supreme Court's ruling on marriage equality basically nullified all Tennessee marriage licenses because it required legal marriage to be opened up beyond just a man and a woman. And since current state law hasn't been changed to fall in line with that Supreme Court ruling, right? Their state law still says between a man and a woman, even though, right, the national law overrides. He says that any modification of this state law could acknowledge the existence of the Obergefell ruling. So he's afraid that, I guess, like when you get into committee and they start changing words around and, oh, we're going to make it, you have to be this age and this, this, and this. And oh, by the way, we should probably change this man and woman thing because that's not important anymore. I guess. I mean, I'm not a lawyer and I haven't heard legal scholars Andrew Thomas at opening arguments or Sharon at Habeas Humor take a crack at this one. But
yeah, they've been too busy following Stormy Daniels.
Oh, yeah. But I kind of feel like, I don't know, this just, maybe this is stretching it a little bit. I don't know, I could be wrong. Law nerds?
Yeah, tell us what you think.
Fowler also said, quote, some people think the state should regulate marriage, and I do not, end quote. Now, again...
Wow, like 10 million things just went through my mind in the same split second when you said that. But go on.
So there's the thing. Like, most of these people are for states' rights. They want a state to be able to say,
yeah,
well, fine, if you want to be gay and live in New York and get married, that's fine. But you can't do it in Tennessee.
Which is...
you know what I mean?
Yeah, like...
So I'm kind of surprised that that was the, you know...
Yeah.
Thing. Anyway. So last week, House Republicans decided to... They sent this thing, remember, to the summer study to go to die, right? Put it out the pasture. And last week, House Republicans decided to reverse that decision once the media got a hold of that loophole issue about the no minimum age.
Right.
And they decided to reconsider the measure. So that's still hanging out there, and we'll see what comes of it. Under Kentucky law, so we're just hitting all the great southern states here. Under Kentucky law, teens under 18 can marry at age 16 or 17 with a parent's permission. Teens under 16 can marry with a judge's permission in case of pregnancy. And if this isn't like a holdover from some disgusting religious belief that, like, well, if you get pregnant, you have to get married because God's pissed off that you got pregnant out of wedlock, and so maybe this will calm him down. What? What? Why does anyone think that would be smart? I just don't get it. Like,
and no matter, by the way, what age you are, because, I mean, that was one of my biggest pet peeves when we got pregnant with our son.
Mm-hmm.
We were not married.
Mm-hmm.
And every single person, once they found out I was pregnant, oh, when are you going to get married?
Yeah.
And I'm like 28 years old.
Right.
Well,
what does
I'm
that matter?
Fucking not gonna get married, like,
right? What's it to you?
And at that point, we were perfectly fine not to get married. You know, like down the road, we did the you know, logical thing and said, well, legally, if anything happens, we're better off if there's that piece of paper. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
A piece of fucking paper.
And it wasn't like, oh, well, we don't love each other, so we're not gonna get married.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No,
it wasn't that at all.
It was just like,
I think we consider marriage differently than a lot of people.
Yeah. But it was like, oh, because now I'm pregnant, I'm gonna.
Right. Well, but see, and so again, like, I the reason why I wanted to get into this is because, you know, these are the people that are like, well, marriage is God ordained. This is not the state doesn't give you the right to be married. It's God.
Sorry.
God is the one that's you're being married before the eyes.
Yeah.
God.
No, actually.
Right.
Like,
if that were the case, we wouldn't have to go get a fucking marriage license
from the state. Government. You'd just go to a church. And then there'd be so many people that couldn't get married because they don't have a church.
Right.
Like, oh, it's just stupid.
So this is disgusting because a lot of these underage marriages involve a teenage girl marrying an older man, right? Like our first story, mm-hmm. who may have sexually exploited her.
Right.
Maybe trafficking her. Maybe. Yeah. Who the hell knows?
And,
who knows what's
going on?
And groomed
her so she can't even speak about it.
Right.
Like, she's just there and believes that whatever is going on is what's supposed to be going on because that's the way she's been conditioned.
Right. A Kentucky Republican senator filed a bill which would have established 18 as the legal age for marriage. And for those who are 17, they could marry with permission of a district judge if the age difference between the 17-year-old and the other party is fewer than 4 years.
Okay.
Okay. But rather than stop there, it went further to say that in cases of a minor, 16 or under, marrying an adult, that's still okay as long as a judge looks for any child abuse records involving the teen, sex offender records of the adult, considers the maturity and independence of the teen, and determines that they have completed high school or GED, that kind of stuff. Okay. So here's a 16-year-old, 15, 16-year-old, with their 24-year-old boyfriend in your courtroom. And like, with a straight face, you have to be like, oh, that, sure, that makes sense. But he doesn't have a history of sex offenders. You know, he doesn't have a record, right? Okay, he's clean. All right, good. Were you touched as a child? Is there any abuse in your history?
You got
no.
Some daddy issues, do you?
like, right.
How does this go down?
Right. And like, how do we consider the maturity and independence of the teen? That is such a subjective thing. So, like, okay, so you're 15 and you've already gotten you've graduated. Huh? What?
Yeah, like,
I get it. Kids being ahead of whatever.
I've known kids that were way ahead.
Yeah.
And graduated way early, but that.
Right, but that doesn't speak to their maturity.
That should give you, like,
necessarily.
That should give you, like, a green light to do things like go to college early or get your driver's license early, or it shouldn't give you a free pass to get married just because. You got, because, oh, well, I've done all of my other milestones. Like,
right? Jamie in the chat says, marriage comes with state benefits. So while it can be a religious affair, according to the state, it should not be.
Yep.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely right.
Yep.
And that's, like, there. I don't know how anybody tries to argue against that. I just
That's, like, right there. That's it. That's a statement. Period. The end. There's mm-hmm. there's no coming back from that. You want. I don't even know.
All right. So. We included the Kentucky story here because it's stalled out in the legislature.
Mm.
They're trying to push this thing through and make it harder for minors to get married, but it's stuck.
Mm-hmm.
The bill sponsor claims that that's due to pressure from an influential conservative lobbying group, Family Foundation of Kentucky.
Gee, wonder why.
Martin Cothran of the Family Foundation told Insider that they haven't done much lobbying against the bill, but they did voice their concerns to the committee chair, who seems to be holding out on the vote. Their concerns? It takes away the parental rights at the very beginning and then includes them in a sort of incidental way at the end of the process. Which is to say, parents should be able to sign off their children into marriage. What?
No.
He wants parental involvement. Parents should be able to sell their child.
Oh my God.
He says, quote, decisions involving a minor child should be made by the parent, not the court. So in the case of a minor child who's trying to, you know, marry an adult rapist or something, I'm sorry that Exhibit A shows us that the parent is not necessarily capable of handling that situation.
And some parents maybe yes, but even still, there needs to be...
Right?
It's crazy.
I
can't...
Pass that bill already. Children shouldn't be marrying.
No. Like, and I don't know, maybe because of how I grew up and how sheltered I was, I don't think that I was even mature enough to make that kind of decision until I was...
Lord, no.
Like 26, 27. At that point, that's when I'd had enough life experience.
Right.
And, you know, maybe kids that don't grow up in cults have a little bit more life experience than I did.
Sure, yeah.
But at the same time, every person is different and every person experiences things differently.
Right.
So you can't really put, but I know, like, even to me, 18, I don't care what you've been through, that's still too young.
Right. And like I've said before, I was 17 when I got my girlfriend knocked up.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And that kind of stuff happens.
And in that situation, like, because I probably because of my upbringing, but like, in a hyper-religious community, mm-hmm. like, I immediately thought, we have to stay together, have this baby, and raise it.
Right.
Like, that's it. There was no question in my mind. That's what we needed to do.
Right.
Glad it didn't work out that way. BTW.
Well, sure. Yeah.
Because I've seen where that road went.
Right.
But, damn. Like, I was not prepared at 17, mm-hmm. even, to handle that situation.
No.
I mean, probably wouldn't have been at 18, 19, or 20 either. Let's be honest.
Right.
Like, it's not like you turn 18 and some this magical, you know, I can handle adult situations happens. It's not. No. Okay.
I think I made stupider decisions when, but like, I was a little bit smarter at 16 than I was at 18 because it was more like, oh, now I'm 18. And, you know, you just, it's egotistical crap.
Right.
Like, oh, I'm an adult. I can take care of myself.
Right.
And then you make all those mistakes and you go, oh, maybe I don't know what I'm doing.
Jamie says, babies are no reason to stay together and get married. And I don't think Stacy had heard the story of me
knocking up
my girlfriend when I was 17.
Stacy's like, Stacy, huh?
we'll offline later. I'll tell you the whole story.
Yeah.
according to the Women's Justice Center, the Courier Journal points out that Kentucky has the third highest rate of child marriages in the U.S. I'm going to take a stab at number one and two.
Texas?
Okay, there's two. There's one and two.
Oh. Well, what,
so Texas is one of your guesses.
And what was this? Number three was Kentucky.
Yes.
Alabama.
Number one is Texas. Though they say Texas has made changes to their laws already. Last June, Texas passed a law that prohibits marriage under 18.
Oh, wait.
Period.
Utah. Like, Utah's number two.
Unless they are emancipated minors. So emancipated minors are considered legal adults.
Aaron says, I'm 41.
Amen, brother.
Adult situation still too much for me to handle. Yep.
Yeah.
Totally.
10-4. So the new Texas law prohibits marriage under 18 unless emancipated minors. Emancipated minors are considered legal adults. Texas only allows emancipation for 16 or 17-year-olds. So this sets their threshold at 16. Prior to the change in law, 16 or 17-year-old Texans were, like so many other states, able to marry with permission of one parent, even if the other parent objected.
Oh, it's so ridiculous. So all you got to do is have one stupid parent to say, yeah, sure, whatever.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
And what if your parents are divorced?
Right? Yeah. Like, who gets to the courthouse first is who wins.
Right?
Like, what? How does this work?
Because, I mean, like, I mean, we're together and we're on the same page, but even still, we have disagreements about things with their kids. I couldn't imagine, like, being in a situation where I'm raising a child with joint custody with my ex, who is a dumbass and doesn't know, like,
right?
And then now we're in this predicament where, like,
yep, absolutely. So that leaves us with the number two state with the highest rate of child marriage in the United States. And we'll talk about that when we come back after this
I
break.
I knew you were going to do that.
I know you knew. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about some more. There's some Florida news to talk about. We've retooled the Florida Man game. We're going to do something a little different with it. Try and see if that takes on any better.
Okay.
We'll do that after the break. You're listening to Sarah Talk.
Are you ready for your first card? As I look at the set I placed down for you, I see an interesting things rising. Some of it has to deal with love and money and changes, and hopefully they're going to be for the better. Now your first card represents your situation. Maybe some problems you've been having, maybe a little bit about yourself. Your first card is sorrow. This card is letting us know that there is some type of disruption in your life. Not that it's a big deal, but this card is giving off a strange vibe of anxiety. Actually, this card is warming my hand. Oh, now caller, if you listen here, I'm seeing in the cards, yes, the 45 of Mangles. The 45 of Mangles card says you're going to go on to Patreon and subscribe, because there is nothing better than giving when receiving. What will you ask me? Find out now and I see for you. Call me now for a free tarot reading.
In today's health-conscious society, you have many beverage choices. But do you know what's in all of them? So much sugar, sodium, and things you can't even pronounce. Dihydrogen monoxide. What's that? Sometimes you wish you just had a simple, more elegant solution for your beverage needs. Introducing H2O, the first ever chemical-free thirst quencher. H2O is simple, simply composed of three portions of two elements, hydrogen and oxygen. H2O means chemical-free, unlike water, which is filled with all sorts of shit. When we tested H2O, we found traces of no other elements. So pure, the bottle may as well be fucking empty, with all the same nutritional content as a breath of cool mountain air. First widely featured on Goop.com, actress Gwyneth Paltrow revealed that she exclusively uses H2O for her vaginal steaming process. After all, why use water when you can steam it with H2O? So now we invite you to run out to your local garden hose and drink that shit. Remember, it's not water, it's H2O.
H2O bottled by Flint Bottling Company in Flint, Michigan. Product not actually endorsed by Goop or Gwyneth Paltrow. Please do not use H2O for vaginal steaming, or better yet, please do not steam your vagina. H2O is actually just water. Water is a set of molecular compounds. It's a chemical. Everything is a chemical.
I was feeling so alone.
I was going through a really difficult time.
I didn't want to bother anyone.
I didn't think they'd understand.
It was tough at first, but I did it.
I'm glad I asked for help.
I asked my teacher.
I asked my dad.
You can do this.
Whatever it is, ask for help.
If you're thinking about suicide or need support, call the Trevor Lifeline at 1-866-488-7386. Ask for help.
Want to join the conversation or tell Sarah she's wrong? Email producer at saratalk.com or call 224-40-SARAH. That's 224-407-2724. Now, more Sarah Talk.
Welcome back to Sarah Talk. This is episode 102. Can you believe that we're far along?
I cannot believe that. It's crazy.
So we've been talking tonight, and again, short show for those of you who are joining us live. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be running very long tonight because we had a long birthday day for our kiddo, and we're tired and ready to go to bed. Yes. And I haven't even finished half my drink. So what's that tell you? So we've been talking about these problematic underage marriage laws, and we've highlighted only a few garbage states that think it's okay for a 13-year-old to get married to a 30-year-old if the 30-year-old raped her and got her pregnant. So we left off with the cliffhanger of the number two state.
You should have given number two, and then the cliffhanger should have been number one.
No, because the number two state is Florida.
Oh, Jesus. I should have seen it coming.
You should have.
Wow. What?
I feel a whole house shaking.
What?
I don't know. All right. Last week, I hear like a hum, like something's vibrating.
There was a truck driving by,
I think. That was a UFO. Last week, the Florida legislature passed a bill prohibiting marriage for anyone under 17. Period. Sherry Johnson was an inspiration for this bill, which ended up as a compromise between the House and Senate versions. Sherry was 9 when she was raped by a church deacon, 10 when she gave birth, and 11 when she married the man.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
See why I saved number 2 for last instead of number 1? She said her church pressured her mother to consent to the marriage.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Of course not.
When was this?
47 years ago. The church pressured her mother to consent to the marriage, and a judge approved it.
Holy
47 fuck. Years ago.
Holy fuck. I don't even care. 47 years, whatever. Yep. But it's a 11-year-old. How much money was the church giving this judge?
Right.
Damn.
Probably not even that. It was probably just the conviction of their belief that if a man gets a woman pregnant, then they should be married.
Holy shit.
You don't want to have a child born out of wedlock, you know.
Well, Florida has always been a red state, so it wouldn't surprise me.
I told you it's the South.
That is so disgusting.
Uh-huh. Over those years, over the 47 years, she gave birth to 5 more children with the man before breaking free several years later. She says, had she not been married, she wouldn't have been sent down this path of repeated abuse. And he wasn't a good guy.
No.
Okay.
Like, obviously not.
Let's be clear.
Raping
he wasn't a good guy. In the Senate, their original bill banned marriage under 18, period. The House bill had carve-outs for 16 and 17-year-olds if there was a pregnancy. Because, again, Jesus, I guess. Why do people think, serious question, somebody help me. Why do people think that teenagers getting married is a positive thing for a potential child?
Beyond me. It makes zero sense. It makes zero sense. Because if the teenager is dumb enough to do these things and end up pregnant, they certainly shouldn't be raising a child.
Right. And why do people think, like, okay, here's a 16-year-old and a 17-year-old, and they want to get married. Bad idea. Shouldn't let that happen. Nope, kids can't get married.
Right.
Oh, well, the girl's pregnant. Well, that's completely different. Maybe that's not such a bad idea then. Reconcile that for me, because I don't get it.
It doesn't make any logical sense.
Okay. Florida's current law allows 16 and 17-year-olds to marry with consent of both parents. If a pregnancy is involved, then there's no minimum age for marriage with judicial approval. So, the legislation that was reconciled between the House and Senate that's headed to the governor's desk does this. Pregnancy wouldn't be a factor at all anymore. Allowing anyone marrying a 17-year-old couldn't be more than 2 years older, and minors would still need parental consent. Okay. Let me run by that again because you were distracted.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Is he taken care of?
Yeah, he's good.
Pregnancy is not a factor. Anyone marrying a 17-year-old couldn't be more than 2 years older.
Okay.
Right? So you're not going to have the case of the 34-year-old right. marrying a 14-year-old.
That's good.
And minors would still need parental consent. And now I didn't see anything very specifically of like both parents or one parent and what if the other one doesn't.
Right.
But and Governor Scott's office said he will sign the bill. So, look at your own states. I did some research here. For the rest of you in the U.S., I'm interested to know what your laws are. And I'm also interested to know, like, when that changed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, some of these that we looked at here, I mean, Texas was last year.
Yeah.
Right? And so they're still listed as number one because statistics hasn't caught up
sure.
yet, right? Eventually, that'll drop them down. Okay, so that's enough of the negative for tonight, I think.
Can we get into the hilarity now?
Yes. The best story to start with.
A Florida man
was arrested earlier this week after a cache of military-grade explosives and tactical equipment was found inside his home.
Whoa.
Joel Reels, 41, of Bartow, which isn't that far from here.
Very close.
Faces 14 felony counts of possession of explosives requiring a license. Apparently, someone saw a package inside the home labeled C4 explosive.
Whoa.
Yep. And contacted detectives who executed a search warrant, recovered several firearms and military-grade explosives, along with several pieces of unauthorized military equipment like a 1.25-pound block of C4, a fully automatic rifle, and several silencers.
What?
The Army Criminal Investigations Division also found military radio communication equipment.
Whoa.
A U.S. Army compass. What? Weapons optics, AR bolts, an electric light kit for landing zones.
What?
14 explosives, including military time fuse, military ground burst simulator, booby trap flares, C4, and a signal flare, 27 firearms, including handguns, shotguns, AR-style rifles, and one inline muzzleloader.
Is that it? Is there more? Was he planning a well-regulated militia?
See? That's the guy right there. There's your guy.
Government's coming to take my guns.
What else do you have that shit for? Was he former military?
Stay tight.
Oh, God.
According to officials, Riles was a deputy sheriff with the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office from August 2006 to March 2013, who had previously worked in law enforcement in Mississippi and Kentucky. Of course.
So he spent the last 5 years stockpiling military shit? Like,
yep, pretty much. Was detained in Mississippi, where he was conducting canine training for a local law enforcement agency.
Oh, my God.
Bartow is here in Polk County.
It is.
And our sheriff, Grady Judd, is like, if Doc Brown brought back an 1885 take-no-bullshit sheriff from the Wild, Wild West.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's guy.
Him.
He's the loudest voice in Central Florida. Mm. Who he's pushed for, like, arming teachers and adding more officers to school. And
he's
like,
obnoxious.
He's a big fan of that idea.
I really want to know.
Keep that in mind.
Who's going to take this guy out?
Sheriff Judd said, Joel Riles has a checkered law enforcement past. However, there is absolutely no reason for him to have this equipment. The military-grade explosives, materials to build bombs, and tactical equipment found in his possession are extremely dangerous. Although he posed no immediate threat to our community, he certainly could have used them for wrong reasons.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he posed no threat.
Right?
How do you...
Having them is a threat.
If his house was set on fire, the whole neighborhood would have exploded.
Right?
Like...
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
Okay. The next story in the Florida Files. Oh, we didn't come up with a hashtag for our game. We didn't come up with a good one. Maybe you guys can come up with a good one.
Yeah. Suggestions, please.
I'll get to that in a minute. The next story, a man in Fort Pierce was arrested for making a homemade bomb. Here's a theme. And hurling it at a yard full of chickens.
Was it his neighbor's yard? We had neighbors.
Yes.
And they had chickens and I hated them. And I always dreamt about exploding them because they were obnoxious.
Arrest reports said someone first contacted Fort Pierce PD Wednesday saying that 55-year-old Scott Wegener threatened to plant an IED under a neighbor's home.
That's name sounds really familiar, but it probably is just a calm name.
The same person called the St. Lucie County Sheriff's Office later in the day, and they sent detectives to Wegener's home. Not sure what Fort Pierce PD was doing, but Sheriff's Office sent somebody out. They encountered a witness who said Wegener was having a dispute with a neighbor over the possible theft of a BB gun. The witness says Wegener offered to pay him to crawl under this neighbor's home and plant the IED. The witness then told investigators to go to another home less than half a mile away where Wegener had detonated a device earlier in the week. That home belonged to Charlie Childs. WPTV reports that Childs said, quote, he just come over one day and threatened to kill my chickens because they're driving me nuts, end quote. But apparently Wegener built an IED from a Canadian mist bottle filled with black powder, sand, and a green fuse, ignited it, and threw it into the backyard where the chickens were. Childs gave investigators a bag of stuff Wegener left behind, containing a pound of black powder, 8 feet of fuse, and a coffee cup full of sand. Wegener was held in jail on a $30,000 bond. No word on the chickens.
Wow.
Only in Florida.
I mean, I have questions only because, like, our neighbors that had chickens, it was, like, they were illegal chickens.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, certain neighborhoods, if you're not...
Do you have, like, cockfighting in your neighborhood?
No.
Oh, okay.
But we weren't zoned for that. That was considered...
Yeah, you got to be in the... You got to be rural.
You have to have a rural... Yeah,
sure.
So, like, in the... Like, we had a lot of problems with those neighbors because they had their chickens. They came out. They warned them. They told them they had to get rid of the chickens. And then...
They didn't.
Like, they didn't... They like, sent them away or something. Or they got new chickens. I don't know. So it took a while to like figure out what's going on. I don't even know. I think they still had the chickens when I left because I remember visiting one time and I had forgotten about the stupid chickens and the rooster crowing in the morning. And I was like, okay, this is why I don't live here anymore.
Okay. The final Florida man story and the final story of the night comes from DeLand.
Oh, I had family that lived in DeLand. Not anymore, but...
I was gonna say, I hope you don't recognize any of
these
names.
It's a very tiny town. Well, it was back in the day, but go on.
Two men are accused of breaking into the home of a man they both dated, stealing several items, then leaving spaghetti sauce boiling on the stove with a washcloth near the burner in an attempt to start a fire and make it appear that a hungry homeowner had just forgotten to turn off the stove.
Oh God!
There's the home. Around 7 a.m. Tuesday, the victim called 911 because his home security system Yep. I'm gonna have to use this picture of this house as the show graphic.
Okay,
I guess.
Guys, if you're watching live right now, the house is a mobile home.
And not like
and
a nice noble. No,
it's like a single wide, like, right. Like it looks like it,
the grass doesn't look like it's been kept.
I can't believe they had a security system.
Well, there's pictures of that,
I'm so
too.
Horrible right
you,
now.
You
I'm,
are
I'm
a judgy
you know,
bitch.
Judgy bitch, but whatever.
Where was I?
Oh, my God. Okay.
7 a.m. Tuesday, victim called 911. Home security system detected motion, and he believed someone was breaking in because he turns on the camera on the phone, apparently, and saw that that a camera had been covered up with a towel. And there's footage of that. If you look at the news story, that's part of the footage.
Was he home or no?
No.
Oh, okay.
Deputies arrived at the home and found a red Lincoln Navigator leaving the area. They stopped the vehicle, and the driver, John Silva, and passenger Derek Irving told the deputy that they had just picked up some clothes from the home. The best part of this story is the quotes. The victim said Irving was wearing a bull onesie costume. Like a bull costume. As a disguise.
Okay, I'm confused. A bull?
Bull.
Bull. Bull. I was hearing
a bull.
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 Bull. Okay, so he's dressed as a cow because he's going to go get Chick-fil-A after he hits this place. Okay, go on.
About Irving, he said, quote, "It started out as a relationship. That lasted about a week. I let him use my car for 4 months. Maybe he's angry about that. Or maybe he's angry because I gave him $150 to fix his teeth," end quote.
You can't fix your teeth for $150, first of all.
But best of all, the victim said, quote, see if I can get through this. He said he was trying to make it look like I left the stove on. But who gets up at 7 a.m. and fixes Sketty?
Oh, my God. This is amazing. It DeLand. Oh, yeah. Told you it was a small town.
Yeah, I guess. So they pulled the car over, right? Deputies found a marijuana grinder in the center console.
Not surprising.
And a vacuum, a window air conditioning unit, a flat screen television, and a heater in the back seat. Presumably the stuff they stole. Mm-hmm. But what did the dastardly duo in, however, was the empty jar of Ragu spaghetti sauce in the passenger seat.
They took the jar with yes. them? What kind of idiots. You gotta leave the jar on the counter if you're gonna make it look like somebody.
Maybe it had prints on it. I don't know. You gotta take.
That's true.
You gotta take it because it might have prints.
Oh my God. Such bullshit. Bullshit. Oh my God.
Both men were charged with unarmed burglary, grand theft, and arson.
Oh my God. Unbelievable.
Freaking believable. But it's not because it's Florida. So now it's time to vote. Will you choose military man stockpiling for the return of Jesus, barnyard bomb, or the case of the Ragu robbers?
Ragu robbers.
Now, while you're thinking, I want to pitch. Here's what we'd like to do. Instead of the ongoing keeping track of brackets and putting stories against each other stuff, what I think we should do instead, I'd like to try this. When this episode goes live, retweet or share the episode on Facebook and write like which one you pick, or rewrite the headline maybe to make it funnier, like just come up with some goofy shit to say about it. And make sure you tag us in the post. On Facebook, it's Sarah Talk Podcast, and on Twitter, it's at Sarah Talk Radio. And what we'll do then is we got to come up with a hashtag, though. Maybe
yeah.
we'll try to get that put together for the next time. But share the episode with that information, and we'll pick a winner, whichever one we like the best, and then we'll give you lots of on-air love.
Yeah.
Read your name and what you wrote and give you some give you some love. And maybe one day we'll have like prizes.
Actual prizes.
Yeah. Yeah, like I'm thinking about in our shop we have stickers now that you can get. I think it's the Republican Jesus stickers that you can get. So maybe I'll order a batch of those and we can send those out.
That'd be cool.
Fun. All right, so where are you going with? Are you going with the...
I'm going with the Ragged Robbers. I can't. It's not... It's too ludicrous to... I mean, just the whole thing.
I think I have to agree. That one's pretty crazy.
Like, I mean, this guy in Bartow is scary.
Yeah. But that's not so much funny. That's
right.
That's like...
That's like, whoa. Like...
Right. That's like...
Glad they caught up with him before he...
Right? I mean, but
especially when you have the sheriff saying, well, he's not a threat.
Yeah, right. But, okay, let's go execute a search warrant for the sheriff's property. Who knows what that guy's got? But no, like, isn't that story just, if you could paint a picture of Polk County, wouldn't that story
Absolutely.
Be it? Like, that is this
Absolutely.
County.
Absolutely. Uh-huh.
Okay. So when the episode goes live, share, retweet, make sure you tag us.
Mm-hmm.
Come up with a funny new headline.
Yeah.
Tell us which one you thought was the best. For whatever reason. Tell us why, too. Did you pick it because it's funny? Did you pick it because it's wild? Did you pick it because it's scared the fuck out of you?
Yeah. Yikes.
Stacy picks Ragu.
Okay.
I'll put a poll up in the listener group. If you're not in the listener group, shame on you.
Right?
Because all the cool kids are.
That's where they are. I promise.
And... hot damn, like right on time at an hour. That's going to do it for this episode, episode 102.
Hey, where's Dan when we're on time? And,
I know, right? We miss you, Dan. You need to come back.
Okay.
Right? I hope so, too. He's probably eating some nice, wonderful meal.
Probably.
I can't be bothered to listen to them while I eat my nice meal.
Well.
Okay, so thanks to our wonderful patrons at patreon.com/Saratalk, part-time patron Russell, Andrea, The Wayward Willis Podcast, Mandy, Josie, Harry, Jeremy, Heather, Stacy, Megan, Morgan, and AJ. See you next week.
Saratalk is made possible by listener support. Visit patreon.com/Saratalk to become a patron and help keep this program going. Contact Sarah and Company by email at producer@saratalk.com or call 224-40-SARAH. That's 224-407-2724. And follow us on social media, facebook.com/saratalkradio and on Twitter @saratalkradio. Saratalk is a production of Sarah Austin Media.